You're listening to The Rainmaker Show on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches with Riscala Stefan, providing a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. Reach the show at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Riscala.
Hello and welcome. It is The Rainmaker Show, and I am honored and privileged to be with you here today on another beautiful day out here in South Florida. If you haven't been outside, you need to take a look and enjoy what we've been waiting for all year long. I'm wondering if we even live in South Florida. For the last couple of weeks, it has been unseasonably cool, and I am not complaining. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Today's show, we are sponsored by Laser Technologies, and we are also sponsored, co-sponsored by Diane Wittig of Bowen Realty. Thank you, Diane. We'll hear from her shortly. And also today, a special treat for those of you out there who are listening. I have with me a board-certified trial attorney. His name is Scott Berry, a genuine person who cares, who has a passion for helping others. Scott, welcome aboard, and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm a criminal defense attorney. I've been practicing here in Palm Beach County for the last 16 years. I started back in 2001. I was a public defender for a long time and then went out on my own about 6 years ago. I have my own practice located downtown West Palm Beach, and I help people who have been arrested for crimes in both state and federal court, and also people who are being investigated for crimes in both state and federal court. So that's what I do.
And I'm sure in today's society, there's no shortage of clients, is there?
There are a lot of people getting in trouble. That's a true statement.
So if somebody finds themselves in a situation, how do they know they need a lawyer?
Well, it kind of depends on the circumstances. Obviously, if a lot of times it comes up where, a police officer stops you for some sort of a traffic infraction and then ends up arresting you for a DUI. And that's the kind of the obvious situation which you need a lawyer. But the other situation that comes up quite often is that, an agent from the FBI or the federal government or even from a state agency will come and visit you at your house or may want to talk to you at your job. They may leave their calling card. And before you call that officer, before you speak to that officer, it's probably a good idea to speak to an attorney to make sure that you don't get yourself into trouble.
Wow. So let's you mentioned cars. So let's go down the car avenue for a minute here. We're driving down the road. I get pulled over, and they suspect that I've been drinking and driving. Do I have a right to refuse the breathalyzer?
Yes. You can – and actually something people don't realize is you can refuse quite a bit of things during this encounter with the police. You should do so cordially. Obviously, don't be difficult with the officer. That's going to get you in more trouble. But no. if you're polite about it, you can do that. So let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. So when the officer pulls you over – obviously, you have to comply with the lights and the sirens. If you don't, you'll get in more trouble for that. But once he pulls you over and he asks you to step out of the car, there will come a point most likely where he's going to ask you if you're willing to do some roadside exercises. That's where you see the guys walking up and down the line, saying the alphabet and that kind of stuff. And a lot of people think you have to do that stuff, and you actually can refuse to take those tests. Now, what will happen is that if your case ends up going to trial, the fact that you've refused can be used against you in front of a jury. So the prosecutor will be able to argue that he refused, and the reason he refused was because he knew he was guilty, he was going to fail those tests, and that's the evidence of guilt. But the fact is you can refuse. And frankly, often it's better from a criminal standpoint, from a defense standpoint, if you do refuse to take those tests, because I'd rather have to explain why you refused than have to explain why you fell over. So that's important. But you asked specifically about the breath test. So what'll happen is once that roadside portion is over, if an officer believes that they have probable cause to make an arrest at that point, they'll arrest you and they'll bring you down to the station. And they're going to ask you if you want to blow into that machine. You have the right to refuse to take that breath test. Now, things are a little different depending on whether this is your first rodeo, right? If this is your first time DUI versus your second or your third or your fourth DUI. But assuming it's your first time, at the police station, first time DUI offense, if you refuse to take that breath test, you're going to have a couple of consequences you need to deal with. Number one, again, the prosecutor is going to be able to use that in a trial. They're going to be able to say, hey, he refused because he knew that he was going to fail. Mm-hmm. The second issue is you're going to have a license suspension. So when you refuse to take a breath test in the state of Florida, your driver's license will be suspended for 12 months if it's your first offense and 18 months if it's your second. So
is that automatic? If you don't take the breath test, it's automatic?
Right. If you refuse to take the breath test, it will automatically be suspended. Now, just to be clear, there are ways, number one, of fighting that suspension. And number two, even if you don't fight the suspension, there are ways of getting what they call a hardship license, which would allow you to drive for life's necessities, going back and forth to work and things of that nature. So, and there are ways to do that fairly quickly in the process, again, assuming it's a first-time offense. When it gets to second and thirds, it gets a lot more complicated, but... That's the idea anyway. So
here I am driving down the road. I've had one or two beers. I'm not really drunk, but I can feel the effects of the alcohol. That is considered drunk driving. Is that correct?
Well, so there are two ways that the state can prove that you were that you're DUI. One of the ways they can prove that you're DUI is because you blow into that machine and you blow above a 0.08.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that's pretty standard. But the other way is they can try to prove it by simply showing that you were impaired by the observations of the officer and things like that. The fact that it is not illegal to drink and drive in Florida. Okay, but it is illegal to be driving under the influence of alcohol or substances to the extent that your normal faculties are impaired. That's legal terminology that basically means you were impaired. And so an officer will come in and talk about things like, you know, you were unsteady on your feet, your eyes were bloodshot. You were slurring your speech, things that tell the officer that he or she thought you were impaired. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you've had one or two drinks, that by itself is not going to be enough. But when the officer makes these other observations and testifies about them, that could be the stuff that would make the case for the state.
How about the telltale question that they always, I mean, this like comes to mind almost always. They pull you over and one of the first things they say to you, if they're suspecting that you've been drinking, how much have you had to drink tonight? What's the answer?
I would not answer that question. I mean, my response would be, officer, you know, am I free to leave? Mm-hmm. And again, you want to be cordial about it. You don't want to sound like a smart guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be cordial about it. You're not looking for a hassle. If the answer to, you know, is yes, I'm free to leave, then say thank you, officer. May I have my license and be on your way. If you're not free to leave, you say I'm not answering any of your questions. You know, I'd like to speak to an attorney. Mm-hmm. You're not technically entitled to an attorney at that point, but you certainly don't have to answer the officer's questions.
So I feel like I passed the roadside exercise, but yet I got arrested. So my interpretation of what I went through versus the officer's interpretation, mine really doesn't hold up, or mine doesn't stand, because it's going to be basically what he decides. Is that the way it goes?
So the thing is this: you may beat the case, but you're not going to beat the ride. and here's the issue, right? So the officer, when the officer asks you to do these roadside exercises, that officer is looking for certain clues. It's not simply, could I walk up the line and turn around and come back? But they're looking for specific things about how you've positioned your feet and whether you've listened to directions and how you made that turn when you turned around to come back. So that the officer is looking for specific things that clue him or her into whether you might be impaired. And so a lot of times you think you've done the task perfectly fine. But the officer has looked at it and said, well, no, you took a step that was off here, or your turn was a little bit off. And so he's marked you off for that. And that's why you've been arrested. Mm. In front of a jury, you may look very good. I mean, in front of a jury, they may have the same interpretation that you did. But to the officer, it's a problem.
Something I want to bring up while we're in this discussion, because I find this quite frequently when I'm watching videos and things, an officer will approach a vehicle. Somebody will be in the vehicle and he'll say something like, show me your driver's license, your registration, your proof of insurance, that kind of thing. And the person becomes somewhat combative, not really combative, argumentative, I think is the best word. Am I under arrest? Why do I have to show you my driver's license? And I found in my experience, even if you feel that the officer is out of line, you should just go ahead and obey, because if they've made their mind up that they want to do something, they're going to follow through. Am I right with that, or am I...
Well, again, I think it kind of depends on the circumstance. It depends on what it is the officer is asking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the officer is asking for your license and registration after pulling you over in a routine traffic stop, you probably should give him your license and registration. Resisting that it could be problematic.
Yeah.
You know, if the officer is asking you, can I search your vehicle? I don't care whether you have anything in your vehicle or not. The answer to that should be no.
Yeah.
Now, the officer may choose to search your vehicle anyway. And if that's what the officer does, that's fine. But make the officer justify it. And not to you, not to mm-hmm. you, but to a court later, right? And giving the officer the opportunity to say, well, the reason I searched the car was because the defendant consented to that search, that's a big problem. And let me kind of explain why, just to be a little bit clearer. The general rule, our Constitution sets forth the general rule, and the general rule is that the officer can't search or seize without a warrant. Now, there's a bunch of exceptions to that. Mm-hmm. One of the big exceptions is consent. And so when you consent to the search, the officer no longer needs a warrant, no longer needs any other right. justification. So that's why I say you should be polite about it, but the answer to the question, can I search, is no, you may not. If he searches, then he searches, and mm-hmm. you deal with it later. And it may end up being your word against his about why he did it, but it, make him make that fight is kind of my position.
Well, today's show is going to have a variety of things, and like you've heard, Scott and I have been talking about legal issues and questions regarding the legal actions that come down when primarily when you're pulled over by a police officer. And I have Don Tolop on the line with me, and I want to bring Don on. Don is a little different subject, but this is the variety of the show. Don, welcome to the Rainmaker Show.
Hey, thanks very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about what you do, Mr. Don.
Well, in our world, it's all about the brand experience. So I work for a firm based on Atlantic Avenue called OGK, and various companies from all over the world will come to us with a messy problem. That messy problem could be they don't have an audience that connects with their product. They're losing revenue. They're just not relevant anymore. So whatever that messy problem is, we fix it with creativity and business acumen.
And how long have you been doing this?
This is going on about 6 years now.
And what kind of company do you look for? Is it just anybody?
Well, no, not just anybody. The first thing that's important is when you look in the mirror for your product, you have to ask yourself, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? Am I looking to grow my business? Am I looking to be the next Apple? The next Nike, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? And then if you really have the goal and the vision, now you either do it yourself or you hire somebody like our team to actually create that backstory and elements and identity to help to get the job done.
So if I say that's the difference between an advertising agency and a branding agency, would that be correct?
That's a great question. I will share with you that many people get this confused. You see, an ad agency will go in, they'll take a 8.5 by 11 ad in a magazine, and they'll place it for you. They'll take a 30-second commercial on a radio station, and they'll buy that media. Hence the point, they're advertising on your behalf. Hmm. With our company, we actually look at a deeper issue, not just a short term, but what will be the difference maker, what's going to disrupt the industry for years to come, so we can be the brain surgery for your campaign.
Wow.
That's kind of the difference.
Wow. So what does your firm do to help brand or remain steps ahead of the competition? What is it that sets you apart from them?
Oh, that's a million-dollar question right there, right? So, you know what's great is that every situation is completely different. There's no template. There's no little cookie cutter recipe. What we have to do is really understand what is it that the organization is trying to accomplish. And unfortunately, there are a lot of industries that are making a lot of mistakes. I'll give you a perfect example. We have a lawyer on with us today. Mm-hmm. So take a look at the personal injury attorneys all across South Florida. Drive up and down I-95, and you will see billboards with the word injured with a question mark, and of course their company name underneath. How can these law firms expect us to remember them 32 minutes later when they all are saying the exact same thing? They're not separating themselves, and they're not giving us anything to connect to. So this is what we have to find for each individual company. What will be that message that will make somebody engage and resonate and be relevant and connect to their heart, not to their head?
Hmm. So in a brand, and I understand that you provide branding, correct? I want to make sure that I'm right about that. You provide a brand.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah, so the brand promise, the brand experience, that's what we do.
Where does branding come in? How does that help you with a product or a service? What makes that stand out above somebody else? I have a brand. Someone else doesn't have a brand. What advantage does that give me?
Everybody's got a brand. You're a brand. I'm a brand.
Well-known
brand. Everybody has a brand. The question is, what are they doing with it? So I love examples. So let's take today's your birthday, and I'm going to give you a sports shirt. It's going to be from the sporting goods store. It's going to be beautiful cotton. It's not going to have anything on it, and it's going to cost me $10. I'm going to give it to you for your birthday. And you're going to look at it and go, it's nice. Thanks very much. And 2 weeks from now, I'll probably be at the bottom of your drawer. Then I take that exact same shirt. Nothing changes, but I take a Nike logo, and I put it on the upper left corner, and I paid $60 for it, and I give it to you. You'll probably wear it to the gym the next day. What's the difference?
The recognition of the brand name.
Yes, and what did Nike condition us that we're athletes? And they spent $1 billion to do it.
Good point. Yeah.
But do you see the point? Like, yeah. You want that feeling in the brand. Now, either you build that feeling or you don't. And it's the ones who do it right are at the top of the game.
So I'm kind of running down on time here. Let me ask you one more question before we let you go. Traditional TV. Traditional TV, radio, magazine, print ads, or is all that still popular, or is it just about social media now?
Oh, that's a great question. It is absolutely popular. Every one of those platforms are wonderful. The key to it is to make sure you have a complete puzzle for how you're going to get your message constantly in front of your target audience. If you put all your eggs in any one basket, you're missing out on many other platforms. But for my message for whoever's listening today, I'd rather you did one thing great than every one of those things just a little bit. So take that to heart. If you're going to do TV, do TV great. If you're going to do social media, do social media great. But try not to put all your eggs in one basket.
Well, Don, thank you. Now, if they want to reach you, Don, if you would please give out the information. How does someone reach you?
Oh, sure. So we're OGK Creatives, and our website is O is in orange, G is in good, K is in kite, .agency. And we're right on Atlantic Avenue, right across the street from the Marriott Hotel in Delray Beach.
And if they want to call you?
Number is 954-260-9010.
Don, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing the information with the listeners. I wish you a wonderful day, sir. I hope you're outside enjoying this beautiful weather that we're having.
We are, and thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it.
It is an honor and a privilege, my friend. God bless you.
To you as well. Take good care.
Thank you, Don. So one of the things that, you know, the show is all about providing a flood of benefits, a flood of opportunities to benefit your life. And one of the small business people that people don't really realize that we have are musicians. I'm going to introduce Maggie Bao. Maggie Bao is going to play a song called I had it, Catch Me. And if you can imagine now, this is a 16-year-old artist, Maggie Bao.
This highway reminds me of you. This empty seat beside me keeps calling out your name. And the way the taillights keep on shining on that life I left behind me. Every mile, every sign is reminding me why I ain't turning around this time. If you miss me already, I guess it up here.
Can you imagine? That's a 16-year-old who is already cutting records, writing music. How much you want to bet that this person will be a productive member of society, that they will help society more than they will hurt society? You can find her at maggiebaugh.com. It's M-A-G-G-I-E. The last name is B-A-U-G-H.com, maggiebaugh.com. She's even played with Charlie Daniels. She's been on stage with Charlie. So it amazes me at a young age like this. You know, I've had Jovian Martinez, who is a piano teacher. His passion is to go out and help young people become actively involved in music, and music can make all the difference in the world. And today's co-sponsor, Diane Wittick, we'd like to hear from Diane, if you would.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped, even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.
I want to thank Diane. She stepped up to the plate for me, and I greatly appreciate her doing what she did. She's been doing this for 20 years. This is a person that has been to a couple of rodeos, if you know what I'm talking about. So thank you, Diane. I appreciate it. So let's get back with Scott. We've had a brief discussion about some legal questions that we've had. And if you have any legal questions, this is your opportunity to speak to an attorney right now without having to be in front of a judge. And you can reach us at 877-960-9960. If you have a question for Scott, please give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to entertain that question. So, Scott, let me ask you another question. How do I know I've got the right lawyer? How does somebody pick a lawyer? I mean, I think a lot of people just, they look it up online and let me call this guy and this guy. Is it a shopping? Do you go shopping for a lawyer?
Well, you should kick some tires. I'll tell you what, it's very hard to know when you have the right lawyer. Because the truth is, especially when it comes to criminal defense, the right lawyer is the one that you feel like you trust. Mm-hmm. And every lawyer will kind of tell you that. It's in their commercials, their ads, things like that. But that trust is important, especially in a criminal context, and here's why. Eventually, in a criminal case, you're probably going to have to make a choice, and that choice is going to be whether to accept some sort of a deal from the prosecutor that's going to involve punishment for you, or you're going to want to go to trial. And that is a huge decision, and your lawyer is the person that's going to advise you about that decision. So if you don't trust the lawyer that you're hiring, You're going to make a bad decision. And so that's kind of the key. And the only way to know whether you're going to trust somebody, you got to go sit down and talk to them. Go in and meet with them and talk to them.
And the feeling that you get from speaking with them and how they treat you and address you and so forth.
Yeah. But in terms of starting the search, I mean, honestly, I start the search with the people that I know, right? I mean, talk to people who may have used a lawyer before and said, you know, who do you know and did you like him? Did you feel comfortable with him? That's where I would start. And I think that's where most people start. If you don't know a lawyer, you're probably going to end up online. And so when you're online, you're going to look for certain signs of quality. I can tell you one of the things that I think is particularly important is something called board certification. Every lawyer has to pass the bar exam, but only certain lawyers become board certified.
Let's go back a minute. Yeah. Not all lawyers are board certified?
No, actually, in the state of Florida, there are over 100,000 lawyers in total. There's about 75,000 or so lawyers that are eligible to practice, actually practicing law. Mm-hmm. And of those 75,000, I believe it's about 4,800 are board certified in some area of law.
My goodness.
Now, board certification is its specialization, right? So you're specializing in a particular area of law. So, for example, I'm board certified in criminal trial law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you came and asked me a question about personal injury, car accidents, medical malpractice, yeah. I couldn't answer that question.
Yeah.
But with criminal law, maybe I can't answer the question, but I should be able to answer the question
mm-hmm.
Because I specialize in it and I'm board certified in it. To become board certified, you have to have a certain number of years of practice. I believe it's, for a criminal, it's at least five years of practice. You have to have a certain number of jury trials. I believe it's 25 for criminal law. A certain number of those have to be felonies. And then there's a peer review process. In addition, there's a separate test, a test apart from the bar exam that you have to take and pass specific to your area of law. So board certification, as an example, is one way of seeing quality in an attorney. Now, look, there are plenty of lawyers that are not board certified that are very good lawyers. I don't think I was any worse of a lawyer the day before I became board certified than the day after. So it's not the only thing to look at, but it is something to consider. Those are some things to look at.
When we were talking earlier about the getting pulled over and going through all of that and end up being arrested and going to jail for the night and getting a hold of an attorney, how much money are we talking about when something like that occurs?
So it's really going to depend on a lot of things, actually. But one of the things it's going to depend on is who you hire, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have lawyers with lots and lots of experience. And generally, the more experience they have, the more specialization they have, the more expensive they're going to be. Not always, but generally. The other thing you're going to be looking at is the nature of the charge, what it is you're actually charged with. So, for example, if you're charged with a misdemeanor offense like a DUI or a domestic battery or a possession of marijuana, something along those lines, your price may be significantly lower than if you're charged with a murder or a rape or a robbery or something along those lines. So that's gonna make a big difference. I can tell you with myself, and you can find lawyers that are more expensive than me and that are less expensive than me. There's no question about that. But for me, I actually keep my pricing pretty standard, at least in Palm Beach County, as to the less serious charges. So for misdemeanors in Palm Beach County, I start my pricing at $2,500. For minor felonies, which I call third-degree felonies, mm-hmm. I started at $3,500, and we kind of go up from there. So as it becomes more serious, it becomes more expensive. But that's kind of a range. And as I said, you come to me with a DUI, it's going to be $2,500. Mm-hmm. You can find somebody to do it for $1,500, no question about it. You can find somebody to probably do it for $1,000, and then you can find someone who'll charge you $15,000. So
when you say $2,500, is that a flat fee?
Yes, criminal defense lawyers generally are going to work on a flat fee basis. A lot of other attorneys tend to work on an hourly rate, so $250 an hour,
right.
and you give them a retainer, and then when the retainer's gone, you have to pay them more money.
Right.
Criminal defense lawyers typically work on a flat fee basis. What many of us do, and I'm included in this, many of us will have a flat fee to handle the case, assuming it does not go to trial,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll charge you a separate fee if it does go to trial. And a lot of lawyers do that because most cases don't go to trial, realistically. I mean, probably 80-90% of cases do not
wow.
end in a trial.
Really?
And so why would you pay for all that extra time for the
right.
lawyer when you're not going to use it?
I wasn't aware of that. It's like 80%, huh?
I think it's actually higher than that. But yeah, there's
wow.
a very large percentage of cases that do not end up going to trial.
That's amazing.
They resolve with some sort of a deal, or maybe they get dismissed before trial or whatever the case may be. So yeah.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be here with me today. It's certainly exciting to have Scott with me. I want to tell you a little bit about Scott. Scott shared a story with me and some others, some of our friends. Scott happens to be a personal friend of mine, about some of the work that he did many years ago. And I got to tell you, the man has integrity, he has courage, he has compassion, and he has love for people. The story that he told me brought tears to my eyes. He helped a young lady who had been treated improperly, treated wrong. I mean, by every angle that you would look at it, you would just not imagine that somebody could be treated in this manner. He went out of his way to see to it that this person was treated with justice, with compassion, with love. This is the kind of people that I try to surround myself with. Scott, thank you. I greatly appreciate you. And I want the people to know, Scott and I do not agree on everything. There are times when Scott is white and I am black, and there are times when I am black and Scott is white. But what is great above it all is that we have respect for each other and that we're able to discuss our differences. And if we can't reach an agreement between the two of us, we can agree that we can disagree and still remain friends and still be able to have a civil conversation between each other. Scott, thank you. I greatly appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
All right. I want to hear from Miss Alyssa Marie Kuhn. This is another one of our upcoming artists, Alyssa Marie. And that was Alyssa Marie Kuhn, and you can find her at alyssamariekuhnmusic.com, 12 years old. I am a firm believer that anyone who gets their children involved in an extracurricular activity, such as music or athletics or something of that nature, the odds of that child growing up and being non-productive are very low. A 12-year-old young lady writing her own music and getting preparing to cut records. I think she's even cut a record so far. Alyssa Marie Kuhn, found at alyssamariekuhnmusic.com. Today's co-sponsor, Diane Wittick. We'd like to hear from Diane one more time, if you would, please.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped, even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.
A great big thank you to Miss Diane for helping sponsor today's show. A couple of things I want to run by you that I didn't do earlier, and it's the technology portion of the show where I share with you about what the technology that we have available and some of the things that you can look forward to. The V card. The V card is a digital business card. This is a card that I carry with me on my cell phone. What this card allows you to do is if you go to a networking event or if you're anywhere and you meet somebody and you don't have your cards on you, you can reach down, grab your smartphone, hit a couple of buttons, and you can send your digital business card to your prospective client. The advantage of that is you have the opportunity to have everything about you on that card, a bio about you, pictures about you, video about you. They can call you, they can fax you, they can email you, all with the touch of a button. And as you well know, hardly anybody goes anywhere without their smart device anymore. So you will be with them 24/7, 365. Another one of the technologies is the QRS technology. This is a technology that is called PEMF, Pulsed Electromagnetic Frequencies, transmitted through your body. And what it does is it helps your body's ability to pump blood through the corpuscles, through the very small veins of your body. The end result is it helps your body heal. It helps your body provide the nutrients that it needs, all because you've increased the circulation of your body. Tesla glasses, this is something I've mentioned several times. We will have these probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Tesla glasses are not like your reading glasses. They're a little different. It's kind of like a virtual reality glass. You put these on and you have a 10 to 15 minute therapy session. And while this therapy session is occurring, there are LEDs inside of this glass that fire off at different intervals and different patterns. The result is it can correct your eye vision. It is 80% effective in bringing back 20/20 eye vision for a lot of people. It goes a lot deeper than that, but that's what I focus on. Again, we will have some of these between next 2 to 3 weeks. They're still manufacturing these. They come from Russia, so it takes a little bit of time. Oh, we're into the Russia thing again. So it takes a little bit of time to get them back. And if you would please look us up on Facebook. You'll find us as The Rainmaker Show, 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches. That's the whole name. On Facebook, give us a like. That helps us to keep in contact with you. It also raises our recognition. And this show is all about recognition, about you, the listener, recognizing that we have a lot of people here in this county that are willing to reach out to you and provide you a service or a product and do it honestly and do it with compassion and caring. Also, all of our shows are archived. You can find the archived shows on bbsradio.com/The Rainmaker. And if you have any questions, you can always reach me, The Rainmaker Show, WPB for West Palm Beach, @gmail.com. The Rainmaker Show, WPB, @gmail.com. And also, when you like us on Facebook, all of the archive shows are there as well. So it'll give you an opportunity to go back and hear something that you may have missed. If you find that there is some information that you would like a quick answer on without having to listen to a whole archive show, please feel free to send me an email. It would be more than an honor and a privilege to connect you with any one of these people that we've had on today. So let me get back to Scott here. Scott, something that we haven't really discussed that I'd kind of like to get your feedback on. And I know that there's really not a whole lot of information out there about this particular subject, but there's quite a few of us out there who know about it, and that is cannabis, or what people call marijuana. I know from my experience and my research that I've done, I am someone who supports cannabis. I have a daughter who has epilepsy. I've done a lot of research on cannabis, and there are certain strains of cannabis that can actually help people with epilepsy. We have passed a law here in Florida that legalized marijuana to a degree. So what happens right now? Somebody gets caught with this stuff. You can still get in trouble, right? I mean, it's not just because they said it's legal doesn't mean that you can go out and do it, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's still illegal. Here's the big issue, and this is you and I were talking a little bit about this before, and this is the kind of the big concern. There's a lot of people out there looking to make a lot of money selling marijuana, medical marijuana,
yep.
You know, having dispensaries and things like that, and. I, as a criminal defense lawyer, am very concerned about advising my clients to do something like that at this stage. And here's why. While the state of Florida has created a law to legalize marijuana, the United States, the federal law, has not legalized it. And you know, when the prior administration was here, there was kind of a policy of not going right. after people selling marijuana, which is why people made lots of money in Colorado doing exactly that. And it's unclear to me, anyway, at this stage, what the new administration is going to be doing in regards to enforcing the federal marijuana laws. Mm-hmm. I've heard, I think Jeff Sessions himself had, you know, the Attorney General had indicated the possibility of going forward
what
on
what I've heard is he's going to come after everybody with a vengeance, and that really upsets me because it tells me that I think that we won here in Florida. Was it over 70% of the people here in Florida voted for this? So you're telling me, Jeff Sessions, that over 70% of the people here in Florida that want this for them, you're going to override that because you're in the federal part of the government. So that bothers me.
I agree with you. I happen to agree with you politically on that issue, but
it doesn't change the fact that
it doesn't change anything. Look, from a personal perspective, as a criminal defense lawyer who's in business for himself, I'm hoping people will go under this, and I'm hoping Sessions comes after you because I'd love to get your business. But realistically, yeah. if someone came to me and said, "What should I do?" my answer would be, "You should wait."
Yeah.
And let's kind of see what they're planning to do. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing you would want to do is have, kilos and kilos of marijuana and lots of money, and have the federal government come in and seize
True.
All of it.
True.
That's not going to be a very lucrative position for
you. You remind me of stories that I read, articles that I read years ago. When it was being enforced more stringent by the federal government, there were places in California. Now, these places were legal according to the state. They had the licenses to do whatever, whether it was growing or distributing or whatever. And the legal and the federal government came in and busted it all up and ended up arresting these people. Now, I see where you're coming from, because here we're thinking that we're okay, we're covered, the state said it's okay, and we're doing what we're within the parameters of what they said, and then the legal people, the federal people come in and say, no, what you're doing is illegal, and so you're caught in a conundrum. I mean, your back's to the wall, so to speak.
And it's interesting, because I've actually thought about this just in the context of how lawyers should be advising their clients about this, and let me explain the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
As a lawyer, I cannot advise you to commit a crime, right? I can't advise you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody were to come to me and say, hey, you know, I want to start this marijuana dispensary, you know, how can I do it? How should I do it? Legally and ethically, the answer for me really has to be you can't, mm-hmm. because of the federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be lawyers that disagree with me on that, and then maybe there's difference of opinion, but that's my opinion, is that the only real advice legally I can give you is – you can't do this. It's illegal. We got to wait and see what mm-hmm. happens. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
If I'm not mistaken, I think even in D.C., in Washington, D.C., they have somewhat relinquished, right? That it's legal there in Washington, D.C.?
I actually don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what the legal status is of marijuana in Washington.
Hmm. I find it interesting that the people have voiced their opinions, and it would take quite a bit to argue that the majority of the people want this to happen, yet for whatever reason, it's still not happening, and we could be subjected to some serious stuff. You know, we could be subjected to some serious jail time, maybe even prison time, for possessing something that we thought was, you know, no big deal.
Well, you know, even in Florida, if it's not medicinal, mm-hmm. Possessing marijuana, less than 20 grams of it, carries a possible jail sentence. It's pretty unlikely you're going to go to jail for less than 20 grams of marijuana in the state of Florida, but it is possible to go to jail for up to a year. The bigger consequence that you need to be concerned about with a misdemeanor amount of marijuana, less than 20 grams, is a driver's license suspension. You can actually lose your driver's license
wow.
for a year if you're convicted of the charge. Now, there are lots of ways around that, and contacting a good criminal defense lawyer is one way to help you fix
Scott
that
Berry.
Problem.
Scott Berry.
I appreciate Scott that. Berry. but that's a big issue. And then, of course, if you have more than 20 grams of marijuana, that becomes a felony, and you actually could face up to 5 years in prison. Now, again, it's unlikely you're going to go for that amount of time, assuming you have no criminal history, but mm-hmm. it is a possibility, and so you need to be concerned about that.
It is I find it rather interesting how you can be a, quote, law-abiding citizen and have this this product on your possession and turn into a criminal immediately by having this on you. It's a little concerning to me, especially when we've gone through the energy and through the process of telling the people who are supposed to represent us that this is what we want. And yet, and I was hoping my friend Michael would call in. I guess he's probably busy. Michael Minardi is an attorney who specializes in this subject. I was hoping that I could hear from him today and he could give us a little bit more insight as to the law, because he's following the law. Even though they have passed, we have passed the law, there are still a lot of restrictions in place. There's a waiting period. There's a qualification. And there's several other things that are coming up. There's the possibility that we're not going to be able, once it's legal and you become a patient, there's a possibility that they don't want you to smoke it. There's a possibility that they don't want you to vape it. So there's some restrictions that are coming up that I really wasn't expecting. I was kind of ignorant to the fact. I figured, well, once we vote it and make it legal, you know, that's it, we're done. But unfortunately, I'm finding out it's a whole different thing. So as we wind down here, I'd like to do one more time. I'd like to hear from Diane. I want to thank Diane so much for co-sponsoring this show today. Without you, Diane, it would have been a lot more difficult than it has been. So thank you, Diane.
Thinking of moving? Before you do anything else, call Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. She provides a concierge service. Things like having your home or condo packed and shipped. Even take care of your home repairs or upgrades. Diane has the expertise to get it done. As a seller, you will have constant contact. She will furnish you with bids on any services that might need completion. Air conditioning, plumbing, handyman, and even cleaning. Living up north and have a home to sell here in South Florida? Just give her the keys, address, and a signature. Your payment will be wired when the property is sold. That's right, Diane does it all. Thinking of buying? Diane has great listening skills. Tell her what you want, give her your budget, and like a genie, she will make your real estate wish come true. There's no regrets when you choose Diane Wittick of Bowen Realty. To reach Diane, call 561-247-5478. That's 561-247-5478. Diane Wittick at Bowen Realty, located in Wellington at Wellington Trace East and Forest Hill Boulevard. 561-247-5478.
Many thanks to Diane for co-sponsoring the show today. And thanks to Errol over there in the engineering room, who's been my backup. Thank you, Errol. I appreciate it. And Errol, do we have time to play one more? I'd like to play the insurance agent one. It's John. His name is John. Let's play that one.
Good afternoon. My name is John Rayrad, and I'm with Landmark Insurance. We've been servicing the Palm Beach County area for the past 9 years. If you have any questions about home, auto, or business insurance, please feel free to call us at 561-584-8621. You're listening to The Rainmaker Show with your host, Ruscala Steffen.
You know, we've been talking about the ramifications of making a bad decision, I guess is the best way to put it. A bad decision would be to be driving without insurance. A bad decision would be not having enough insurance to cover your home, because here in South Florida, as you're well aware, we could be having a nice sunny day and in 15 minutes, all pandemonium is breaking loose. And if you have damages around your house and you're not insured properly, you're going to end up paying a pretty penny. Nothing is cheap nowadays, especially when we're talking about a house. Errol, have we got room for one more?
Hi, this is Jamie Hyde, your personal auto buying expert. I started representing car buyers just like you because when I was in the car business, I could empathize with many of my clients when they expressed their frustration with the entire process. Not only do I get you the best price on your new purchase or lease, but I also help you get the best value for your trade and the lowest interest rates you qualify for. Most importantly, I save you the time, aggravation, and frustration that most people feel with the new car buying experience. Please visit my website at www.abcs.ws. That stands for the ABCs of car buying made way easy. ABCS.WS. Or for your free car buying consultation, call or text 561-692-3637. Again, that is 561-692-3637. Once again, my name is Jamie Hyde, your personal auto buying expert, and you are listening to The Rainmaker Show with your host, Ruscala.
I want to thank our artists today, Maggie Bao and Alyssa Marie Kuhn, who provided the music for us. I will do whatever I can to help promote these local artists. If you know some more young people out there that are writing music or they're looking for a highlight to what they do, please send me an email, therainmakershow@gmail.com. It would be an honor and a privilege to provide them some spotlighting. As we're running down towards the end of the show, I want to thank 900 AM for allowing me the honor and the privilege of being here and sharing with you this information. Again, I want to thank Scott Berry, who has taken out of his day the time to sit here and answer questions and provide his interpretations and his advice that he has on the law. Scott, thank you. I wish you a wonderful day, sir. And if people want to reach Scott, let's find out how we do that.
Sure. You can call me, 561-281-7155. And if you just want to find out more about me or if you want to try to contact me, you can find me on the web at defendingyourfreedom.com.
Thank you, Scott. I greatly appreciate it. You have been listening to The Rainmaker Show on 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches. We wish you a wonderful day, and we'll see you in a week.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, and packed her out alone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah. Understand.